Well, we're continuing our teaching on understanding grace. Grace is a wonderful subject, especially in the New Testament. The Old Testament also talks about grace, but in the New Testament, the Old Testament we see types and shadows of grace, but in the New Testament is the reality of the full grace of God poured out to man. And so as we're teaching on this, it's so much to understand about grace. Grace is a topic you could teach on. I taught it in Bible school already, and I never taught it in its fullness of what you could teach it, because it's so much to cover. Yet, from the Bible standpoint of teaching in the church world, people know very little about grace, its operation. Grace is through everything that God has done. Most people look at grace as, well, I got my sins forgiven, then, which that's nice, but if that's all grace is, they had forgiveness of sin in the Old Testament. If that's all grace is, you know, God wants to be good to you, and that's it. But that one thing grace is, if you've learned from the New Testament, you find out how good God is, and that God's grace is manifest through all His goodness. And it doesn't matter much how much if somebody says that we have favor with God. Well, what is the favor, you know? He just said, hey, I like you, and pat you on the head and say, good luck. Is that it? I mean, it has to be more than that. So last week we were finished looking some things, and I talked about some things. I said that grace is and is not, and I'm just going to go through them again quickly. Grace is not a passive attitude that God has. Grace is going to do something for you. It's not passive. Much of Christianity today is passive. And that's not what God is. Grace is not passive. God was never passive. In fact, God in grace is not the ability to just tolerate some problems. Grace is God doing something. God aggressively moved toward man. Man had not done anything worthwhile to be saved, and nothing. Yet God aggressively moved toward man to save him. And so you need to get that in your mind about when you think about what grace is. Grace really is simply God's ability that works in our behalf. You were saved by grace. It was God's ability, wasn't yours. You know, people talk about faith and they talk about their faith, but really, you couldn't have faith except through God. Faith comes by hearing the word. If He wouldn't have gave His word, you would have no place to stand to have faith. God is the promoter of everything. All the good that man can have from God has come from Him, and He was the initiator of it. He's the one who did it, and He didn't sit around and wait and, you know, just sort of being real tolerant. He wasn't like that. He went right after it. I mean, Jesus died on the cross. God stepped right in. I mean, if we would ever, the church world ever preach what Christ did in dealing with sin, the matter of sin, what He put up with, and I've said this before, if we look at the consequences of sin, the consequences of sin to man who doesn't receive Christ is eternal damnation, is eternal punishment. Eternally, the wrath of God, in fact, the scriptures talk about it, the wrath of God rests on the unbeliever. And John, the third chapter, verse 36, says, talking of the unbeliever, says he has the wrath of God abiding on him. And that is eternal. And if we can imagine the suffering that Christ did for humanity to pay the price of a punishment that required every individual to spend an eternity forever. I mean, I cannot imagine the punishment that was upon Jesus Christ so you and I could be free. And that's why we deal with the areas of grace, as they say, as we talked about, you know, grace is free, but it's not cheap. And grace is treated in the church world very cheaply. Very cheaply. What God did is so phenomenal. As much as I've studied the subject, I can feel sometimes I know little about it. I mean, it's just because it's hard to comprehend some of the things in God's graciousness to man and the fact that something given, that it's an impossibility for mankind to do anything that would, from the standpoint, earn it or could ever have it or even could ever think of getting such a thing. And it's quite phenomenal, and God gave it freely. Man was really important to God. So As I said, grace is not the ability to tolerate a bad situation. Grace isn't something that God gives you so you can, bad things happen and we can just get through it, we just hang on. It's not grace. The world's doing that all the time. Anybody can do that without God. Grace is about overcoming in a situation. Grace is about not losing your joy in the middle of trouble. Man, I'll tell you what, that's a treasure in itself. Before I was born again, I lost my joy a lot. Anything that come along and happened, I lost my joy. It was gone. I didn't have it. It wasn't there. And to find out that, you know, you can live a life, in fact, that God is on your side. He's working for you. He's not against you. You know, I would have thought many times that God would have had a good reason to work against me, even as a Christian. But he didn't. He always has grace. So, grace to you and me is free, but there was a dear price paid for it. One of the because I'm giving, along this thing, I've given many definitions, the areas of grace, because grace covers into so many things that it's there, it's just different aspects of it that we look at. And I had one of the definitions that I have is God's aggressively benevolent inclination to show kindness and to bestow favor. God, it was an aggressive benevolence to man. I mean, and we need to look at it in that matter. Because you can't take a picture of grace at all and deal with anything from us deserving. Because you will never have faith to receive grace that you feel doesn't belong to you. See, when the Bible talks about grace being free, that word free is grace, is from that standpoint, it's free. It would be no different than somebody, if somebody came up and gave me, say, here, I'm going to give you $1 million, and this $1 million is yours, and you can have it. Now, I see some people sometimes, they get a gift from somebody, but they, you know, especially if somebody gets a gift, I've watched people do this, they get, somebody really does something for them, say, over the top, and they just feel they just don't deserve it. And they just keep going on and doing that. See, If you have that kind of attitude about things, you're going to have a tough time in Christianity. Because God expects us to receive His grace that He's given just like it belongs to us. It isn't about earning. See, this is one thing. I've learned about this. He shouldn't have gave it to me if He didn't want me to have it. That's the way I look at it. Was he a fool? Was He a fool in giving you grace? Well, you know, now you see, if you try to reason it from your mind, you could come up with that. Say, man, what, you know, why would he give grace? Look at these terrible people. I mean, I was years ago, it was in the West Virginia, that prison's closed, Moundsville prison's closed, but I was considered the worst prison in America, and I believe it. I was there, man, ministering and stuff. But you know, no matter the condition of the people there, no matter how bad or whatever they did, Jesus Christ would save them just like that. See, God doesn't view in man like man views about man. See, we look at people, we put them in categories, we look at people, oh, this guy's really bad. Should I tell you the worst person to ever try to get saved? And I know this, and I've talked to ministers. You find people religious and think they're pretty nice, they're the hardest to get. They are the most bound in sin than any group. You get the guy out here living like hell, he knows he ain't right. He has no pretense about his evil. And you know what? But see, when people get over in their own righteousness, that's where it becomes a very difficult thing. That's why as many times as you see very difficulty in people, self-righteousness is a terrible thing because it keeps man from grace. Even many people get born again, but they have a self-righteousness about them. And, you know, do you ever run into people and say, you know, they don't like people giving them anything or doing that? You know, I don't like doing that. I like to get things of my own. I don't. Without God's grace, I wouldn't have half of what I have now. You know, just, it's been, God's grace has been good. Hallelujah. It's what He does for you. And so keep that in mind about yourself. You know, quit being religious. Quit trying to earn things from God. You don't have to earn things from God. If we had to earn them, we'd all be in spiritual poverty. That's just the way it'd be. It isn't by earning. This gracious God of ours decided this is what He wanted to do for man. This was really love in action. This is love and what it was. He looked down at mankind, said, looks down there, yeah, there's scumbags here, but I love them. And you know what? I'm going to be good. I don't care what happens. I'm going to be good to them. So you got to understand that man is God's treasure in the earth. The earth is not God's treasure. All is that man is. Man is God's treasure. It's like the Lord showed me when I was first born again. Because I'd always question about things of, I'm a great questioner to God. I go to God, I have questions, man. I want to know why things work. Because see, I hear things sometimes preached or sometimes said. And you hear it over time and things people say. But they never really come down to the seed of it, why it is so. I like to know why things are so. I don't know much about you. I like to know. And it's about man, because you hear a lot of things in dealing with grace. Sometimes people talk about more really from the sin side than they do the righteousness side of God's grace toward us. And one of the things is I looked at man, and I always often thought about this is, even as a child, I can remember in church, because they would talk about God creating Adam and Eve, and I looked at the fact of God knows everything. Well, you know, and I don't know, we know the Bible says that, but it's a hard thing to understand. I mean, God knows everything literally from the standpoint. God knows everything to detail that what is going to happen in 15 trillion years from now. There's nothing coming that he does not know about, that he doesn't. And see, with man and the earth, I often thought about this. Well, if that's true, then God knew man was going to sin. God knew that. God creates man. He has to know man's going to sin. Well, the Bible does clear up that subject. We'll read about that later. God did know. Because the Bible says that Christ was crucified before the foundation of the world. Before God decided to create the whole thing, he had already planned. He knew he was going to have to send redemption. But the question came to me as in, God, why did you do this? You knew man was going to fall. Why did you do it? Well, see, we need to understand there's two realms of operation. There's the spirit realm and the physical realm. I didn't understand that at the time, and I guess I haven't heard people preach about this per se, and I've heard people mention certain things, but we need to understand as we're dealing in the areas of sin, as man's sin, why did God create man? Number one, God is a God who's just. Satan's power that he operated in, God gave it to him. That was God-given power. Do you notice God didn't take it back from him? God doesn't do that. You know, people say, well, you know, if you don't do right with things, God will take this from you or that from you. I'm sorry. If you can't operate in God's things, it's about you. It ain't about him. It's not about him. It's about you. God doesn't do that. God didn't take Satan's power away from him. Satan had a right of operation. He had an absolute right in operating and doing this. But God is a just God, and God's always going to deal in the areas of justice. God had a plan for justice as dealing with Satan. And this is one of the things that if man maybe understood of the church world. But anyhow, I had this question, and I was not born again very long, and I went down to our locker room where I was working at, because nobody would be down there during the lunchtime and everybody's out, and I would get down. Lots of times I'd get down there. If I wanted to talk to God about things, I'd get down to the lunchroom. And I had this question. I asked God, why on earth did you create man? And I don't know what I was expecting at the time, but this is the first, I mean, it all of a sudden startled me. I had a vision, and then God spoke to me, and it really threw me. But in it, I saw this, this vision, and there was things within the vision had to do with that. But these words that God said to me, he said, man is my key to put away sin for eternity. You see, sin's going to be judged for eternity. After the 1,000-year reign of Christ, Satan's going to get less loose for a bit of time and let go, and he's going to cause a little more trouble and all that kind of stuff. Then comes the white throne judgment. And sin forever is going to be put away. And really, it's through man. Because you and I have received Jesus Christ, the judgment of God is set on Satan. God could only bring that about through man. God used the physical realm to deal with a spiritual problem. When God became a man, as being a man, he could deliver man and seal the judgment on Satan. And that's how he did it. He did it. He did it through fallen beings, God sent his son into the world to become a man like the rest of the fallen beings. And when he redeemed man, it set the judgment on Satan. The worst thing that Satan ever did was crucify Jesus. The worst thing. When he did that, when he understood what he did after that, I'll tell you what, I'm sure he wanted to kick himself in the pants for probably still the worst thing he ever did, crucify. If he wouldn't have crucified Jesus, that's why the scripture talks about that. So if they only knew, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. The demon spirits wouldn't have ever gotten involved in that. And so, but when the Lord spoke to me, I understood this then of man's place in God's plan. Man is not something God's trying to throw aside. We're his treasure. We're what he decided to use. The making of man is what brings things to a culmination at the end, where the spirit realm and the physical realm will be joined together in perfection. See, we weren't, you know, the first creation that we talk about, our creation, it wasn't perfection. Couldn't have been perfection, it wouldn't have fell apart. And see, we need to understand, God is going to set, there's going to be a new heaven, a new earth, and everything is going to be set in perfection. Sin will no longer have a hold on anything anymore. Physical realm and the spirit realm. The two are going to be joined. We're going to have glorified physical bodies, just like Jesus. He could operate in the physical realm, and he can operate in the spirit realm. Jesus appeared to the disciples in his glorified body. He could walk through a door and didn't you have to open it? But anyhow, see, but he could operate supernaturally in the physical realm. So the physical realm, he could operate. Jesus ate in the physical realm in a glorified body. He sat down and ate fish with the disciples in a glorified body. So both for the new earth is not going to be some just spiritual place. It's going to be a glorified physical earth. It's going to be a quite unique experience. A lot greater than's ever been preached. Hallelujah. So, we have a lot of good things to look forward to, folks. Hallelujah. And all this we get because of grace. So this grace didn't come because we earned it, but God looked at man and God's plan for man, his love for man, he set this thing in motion. And so I just do encourage you to operate in all the grace of God. Don't cut it apart and don't, I hear people, they say, they get into extremes on grace. People get into extremes from the standpoint of thinking that grace is something that God overlooks sin, and that isn't what about. Grace is the ability for us to overcome sin, not for sin to overcome us and get away with it. Because sin will always lead you to judgment. It will. Sin, the Bible says you're going to reap what you sow, so you get over and doing wrong things. It's going to lead to something bad. So it's sort of stupid to get the idea. What would good a grace was is overlooking just bad things. That wasn't about. It was to fix things. That's what it's for. It's the power of God so you and I can live more like God instead of living more like the devil and getting away with it. That's not grace. And so it is the power of God. I want you to read from the book of Psalms concerning God's attitude. Now just think, this is in the Old Covenant. And in Psalms 35, in verse 27, David wrote and said this. He said, "Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause, and let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants." So God said, here we stand. See, God takes pleasure in his people being blessed. He takes pleasure in that. Now we know, it's like people say, yeah, well, sometimes people go too far with money. Well, on the other side, sometimes people go too far into poverty. Why don't we get as upset at that? If poverty is such a good thing, the church ought to quit helping anybody. But basically, most of the church is a bunch of liars. They don't live what they say. They have these wild beliefs, but they don't live them. They're always trying to get everybody to have stuff. And then the other side don't like prosperity, don't like that. Well, it's messed up. It isn't a matter, prosperity isn't good. I mean, most Christians, I would imagine, they're going to like heaven much at all because, looks pretty lavish to me. I've read the scriptures. If God don't want us to have lavish, I mean, he's pretty messed up, isn't he? You know, I can have it, you can't. Now I live good, you gotta live poor down here, and you gotta, strange stuff. Religion's a wild place to go to. It is. Religion will take you to places. Religion always looks where somebody carried something too far and got out in the woods. So that instead of throwing that out, they throw all that whole thing out. They throw out everything else you could enjoy with it. You know, somebody does something dumb, you know, a guy goes out here and does something crazy with a car and kills somebody. Well, does that make cars bad? They know now we're not going to have cars. Well, the church would do that. They'd throw every darn car out. That would be... We're not, religion does that. Let's throw it out. They're all bad. My God. Let's go back to horse and buggies. Religion's wild. And so we don't want to go there. In Psalm 68:19 says, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation." He said he daily loads us. I want you to ever think about that. He daily loads you with benefits. I often wondered, how many did he load up that I didn't take? How many were, he said he loads us with them. So in other words, we look in the from the New Testament side, where we're supposed to go to the throne of grace, and that's what God does, is getting ourselves over to realize all that God supplies. Grace is about all that God supplied us. It's available to us all the time. So every day you get up, All the grace of God is available all the time. You know, it's like when the Lord dealt with me, one of the things that he talked to me some years ago about, and then here was it 2 years ago that he spoke to me, is ministering to people in the areas of healing. And he said, concerning healing, he said, you tell people that the healing power is always present. And it is. Healing power is always present. See, people talk about, well, God's everywhere. But people are always looking for healing power. Well, hold about. You know, how can God be present and leave what he is to home somewhere too? Maybe, I don't know. That might be a new one. But see, it's always present. And he said, ministering to people is to tell them that the healing power of God is always present. It's always here. We have one place in the Bible there where the guy was brought to Jesus, four men body, but he's on a stretcher and he took him up on the roof and tore the roof down. Well, it tells us before in the beginning of that, it says the power of God was present to heal. Yet he was the only one that God healed. See, the grace to heal was already available there, but yet only one guy received it. See, God loaded healing at that place. Nobody took it, but one guy. And when they came, Jesus said that he could see their faith. The rest of them were, I'll guarantee you, there was more than, he was the only sick guy there. There was others there. There was people there. In fact, he said that, the scriptures talks about the Pharisees and them ones were there. And he said the power of God was there to heal them. So they were sick, but they didn't get healed. Why? They didn't receive the grace. See, they're going to looking for stuff that God has already given. I mean, it's already available. All we have to do is receive it by faith. So see, there was this, these guys came along and brought their friend. They believed the healing power of God was there. They believed it was. So they acted on that fact. And so we can see that was the grace of God at work. That's God's grace. How wonderful that is. In Psalm 145:16 says, you open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. What a statement. See, God is interesting in satisfying the desire, our desires. When we look at Mark 11:24 concerning prayer, whatever thing you desire when you pray, believe you receive it and you'll have it. Your desire. Now, some translations in this translation that I have there says whatever you ask. That word can be translated as desire. It could also mean to the things that you crave, or the idea of really dealing the areas of your need, whatever it might be that you whatever those things you need or desire or want. When you pray, believe you receive it and you'll have it. So we have it here. See, God's hand is already out. This is one of the things that I understand somewhat when people talk, and there's a lot of been a little books out about seeking God and about the presence of God and things, but their idea many times when you read the books is we're trying to get to God. I'm not trying to get to God. He done moved in. I'm not searching for God. What I'm searching for is wisdom and understanding and knowledge. That's my search. God's here. God's present everywhere. In Romans, the 8th chapter tells us that speaking the person's born again, if we're saved, it said then we're in the Spirit. See, people are trying to get in the Spirit instead of talking like, I'm in the Spirit. I'm a born again Christian. I'm a spiritual person. I'm born of Christ. So you see, the reason, and understand this, the Bible never talks about the sinner as being spiritual. It never talks about sorcery as being a spiritual thing. It never talks about any kinds of witchcraft as being spiritual, because it's not. It's all carnal. It always deals with man fleshly trying to touch into the realm of the Spirit. Man's ideas and man's plans. See, I was involved in sorcery before I got born again. I was involved in that. And this is where the area, see, I hooked up with things, spirits, but it was carnal. I mean, I wasn't spiritual, but I was carnal, and I learned to do things that you could get demon spirits to operate. Now, we knew we were dealing with demon spirits. You knew you were. And we knew that Christians didn't know a thing about the spirit realm, so they couldn't get nothing done. That was one of the things I got involved in this stuff. Because Christianity had nothing to offer. They didn't have anything to offer. They had nothing spiritual to offer. All they talked about a God that never showed up. A God that never manifested. A God that didn't do anything. And they loved the God. He said, my words, yeah, he just killed my mom and dad, but we love him. He killed him for a reason. You know, he needed another star in heaven or something. Saying things like that. And it's like, you know, this is interesting. But see, you can get this and understand that it's not hard. That was one of the troubles that I had when I did get born again and come over into the Christian realm, and I got around spirit-filled Christians. I thought they were going to be people who understood about the spirit realm, and I realized they didn't know anything about it. The Bible was a lot of nice books, a lot of nice stories, and a lot of nice stuff, ideas and stuff, but it wasn't a reality spiritually that this thing could really cause things to manifest and you'd cause things to happen. And so I thought as a young Christian that these people were excited to know that, you had to use faith in the realm of the Spirit, even with demonic powers. You have to use faith to get them to do stuff. Just in the same way as in Christianity. There's no difference. The spirit realm don't operate different between God's kingdom and Satan's kingdom. God set the rules, not Satan. The kingdoms operated identical. Because it's just like I found out, we had in our groups, just like Christianity, you'd have groups. We had some of us that knew things about how to cause demonic powers to manifest. Most of them didn't. Most of them would talk, they would get joined into things, but they didn't know a thing about how. Why? Because they played around with it. It wasn't a reality to them. It wasn't real. It was just cool things to do. But see, some of us nuts, we believed this thing, man. And it's my wife. We'd have demons manifest. We'd have spirits manifest. We could, you could do that. So when I got saved, in fact, when I read Kenneth Hagin's book before I got saved, a guy gave me his book on how to be led by the Spirit. And the guy was a Christian, gave it to me. I read it and I gave it back to him. I said that the first Christian I ever heard of that actually knows how the spirit realm operates. It's the first one I've ever come in contact with. And believe me, I sat under a million sermons when I was a kid. But they didn't understand how it operated. I thought people would be excited to find out, because understand, this is all about how the grace of God works. This is the grace of God. All this manifestation, this is the grace of God. Faith is about the grace of God. Faith has no value if it's not hooked into the grace of God, because that's where the power's at. Grace gave the power. Grace is the power that brings things to pass. Grace is the thing. It's God's goodness that does it. I just believe that he's going to do what he said. Woohoo! And so you hook into it. And I found in God's kingdom was the same thing. When I began to operate in faith toward God in things, just as I had manifestations of demonic powers, I'd have manifestations of God. God would manifest himself. It's a completely natural thing. It's not something strange or out of it. I mean, that's just the way the spirit realm operates. And most of Christianity has taught, that God just does what he wants and he's in control. So we just sit by and see what he's going to do. Well, nothing operates that way. Do you ever think naturally in life operates like that? You just don't go to work and just sit at home and it's all going to be taken care of. Well, you can live in the United States like that now. It used to be that was it used to be a different thing. Today it's different. Okay. So I just want to create, this is not a hard thing. Faith is a system God set up. What good is grace if it's hard to get? It's of no value. Did anybody here have to struggle to get saved? No. Didn't take no struggle at all. The biggest thing that ever happened in your life was salvation. Why would God make it hard to get the rest of the stuff when the most valuable part was just dumped on you with no effort? But see, it's the way we think. We have this thinking and we have preaching that tells us that. That God will give you good things of grace if you can get real spiritual. Good luck, folks. If I've arrived at this real spiritual place, I'll tell you. I'll let you know. There's a good chance we'll probably leave to let that. Anyhow, it doesn't happen that way. These things happen because of God's grace. God is good. God does it. If we have any growth or spirituality, it's because He gave it to us. We just took what He gave us. It's what's ours. And understand, learn to do that, you know. He puts things out there and asks us if we want it. The whole thing is, I've spent my life studying and looking at the Bible and studying the Word is to find out what God has already given me. I'm not trying to get it. I can get it once I find out what is given. This is grace. What all is in grace? What all belongs to me? See, whatever's in your bank account belongs to you. If you don't know what's in your bank account, most people know today. They drive up to the teller window and they sit there and they just try to find out. They keep punching in to find out, get the things back to see how much money they have in their account so they can draw out. I had them tell me at the bank, that's the way most people do now. People don't keep track of their checking accounts and don't steal. Because I hate to deal in banks. I do all my stuff online because you go there and stand to people trying to argue that standing there waiting and that they're arguing they have money they don't have. They spend it all. They don't know, never kept track of it. I got to stand there and the poor teller has to go through the things with them. It's a mess. But see, you want to find out what God's given you. You cannot have any faith for what He has not given you. Faith is based in knowledge. You cannot trust for anything you don't know belongs to you. Can't trust, you can't get it. It must already belong to you to have faith for it. That's why when Jesus said, when you pray, believe you receive it. When? At the time you pray. Not at the time you get it. At the time that you pray, you believe He gave it to you. That's what faith is. That's why find out what He gave you. Find out what's in grace. Find out how good grace is. And then say, well, okay, God said He gave us that. Well, then that belongs to me. That one's mine. So I can have that. That one belongs to me. See, it's most of the church where people are seeking for healing. They're trying to get this stuff. They're struggling. I'm sorry, it's already been given. Grace already took care of that. That's a given. So what it is, it's about me receiving. I have to receive it by faith. That's what I have to do. That's my job. It's going to get down to that. That's why I like it's called the good fight of faith. If you're fighting any other battle and you're in the wrong one,
That's right.
It's a good fight of faith. You know why? We win. The faith fight, you always win. If you're in faith, you'll always win. So if you're in faith, hey, I'm going to win, so don't matter. Whatever happens in between, don't matter. But I'll tell you what, the end result, I'm the winner. See, that's what makes it the good fight. It's not a good fight if you don't know the outcome. If you don't know the outcome yet, you're not in the faith fight. You're in something else. And so we always want to find out exactly what God has given to us. That's what you search the Word for. What God's given you. And one of the things is God's given us all of His ability. It's amazing. His ability and His power for us. You know, when Jesus made the statement in John 10:10, we said, the thief comes to kill, to steal, and destroy, but He said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. God, grace is about the abundant life. It's in all levels, you know, no matter whether it's whatever. I mean, think about your life and all the levels that you live in this earth from your work, your family, and whatever else. Your life is to be abundant. Jesus came to give man life abundantly. God's life in us cannot, its outcome always has to, you know, it has to have an outcome in this side. Can God give you life and it never shows up? Would it be possible? You see, things you need to throw out of your life and your way of thinking. Well, this is talking about spiritual things. What you said is, I'm believing spiritual things and they don't help my physical life. Well, what good are they? I made this decision when I first got born again. I ain't interested in anything that don't help me here. If it ain't any good here, when I get over there, we'll deal with it over there. But here, I got to live in this place. This is the place. This is the place where the trouble's at. I don't need stuff that don't help me here. And I found out this, all that nonsense talk about spiritual and all that, where people saying things that didn't know a thing about God and about His working. There's one thing, when I got born again, that was a spiritual thing. Did it do something to my life? Well, what good? See, spiritual things, I don't care what it is that the Bible teaches you, will help your life. Well, he's talking just about spiritual healing. I don't need any spiritual healing at all. I've been born again. I have the nature of God. If my inner man needs healed, then God didn't do a very good job. I guess Jesus will have to die again for it. No. See, get that in yourself. See, you quit looking at the outer man. Look at the strength you got on the inside. The abundant life is what's in us is to manifest on the outside of us. And you know, we're all learning how to do that. Now, I'm better at things today than I used to be. But sometimes I used to wonder about myself. Man, sometimes there's some things. All of us have certain areas that might be harder for us than somebody else. And so you might have another area in your life you're real good at. And, you know, getting things working. You know, everybody has that. But his number one is walking along, is learning how to take the things that we're learning in the Word of God, put them into to action in life till we receive that abundance that God has provided for us. The abundant life. The life of God. The Old Testament talks about days of heaven in the earth. It was something to come. Why don't we have some days of heaven in the earth? Everybody, you know, is believing for days of bad times. But you know, we're the church of Jesus Christ. We ought to have some heaven in the earth, and we can bring it. Whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. But we waited for God. And God said, I gave it all. What do you want? What are you going to loose? What are you going to grab out of grace? What are you going to take? And so get your thinking over there. Because see, over time, all of us battle things. I came out of religion. And even though I rejected as a kid, I rejected the churches we went to. I just rejected the nonsense. I just thought it was insane. I never understood these people and the stuff that they did. Talking about God killing people and God loved them somehow. And all this stuff. And I thought, my God, we lock people up in jail for killing people. And, you know, God's in control, and you know, this guy died over here, a guy murdering, but God had a purpose in that. Well, if God used the murderer, why don't we put him in jail? He's doing the will of God. Buy him a new gun. You know, God might have some more things he wants to do. You never know. But hey, to us we shouldn't listen, sound like insanity, but this is a church world preaches this nonsense. And then see, we fight these battles because we hear these. Like me, I heard it as kids. I even found myself battling this when I first got saved because these things get deep-seated in your mind. They weren't in my heart. But they get in your mind and they keep clogging up your thinking. As Kenneth Hagin said this, and I found out to be 100% true, he says the major thing that the church needs is a renewed mind. Number one thing. And that's why I was preaching. I know people get upset at me because the way I preach, but I found it, if you're going to change people's mind, you're going to have to be direct and you're going to have to rattle people because or they will not deal with things. People will not deal with stuff till you shove it in their face. Because see, we live in this cushy little society today that likes, treat me so cute. You know, I'm the worst thing on the block, but keep telling me I'm pretty. But you have to rattle people around to get them to do it. To stop and say, hey, hold it. Let's look at what I believe. Let's really look the way I think. See, there's things in us that hinder us because, and there are things that we don't realize. We've been taught years and years in past, but those thoughts get mingled in with stuff with the Word of God, and somehow They get mingled in our thoughts. And it's like a glass. You have a glass here and you can fill it halfway with clean water, but you put some dirty water in, it's dirty water. And that's when our thinking, it's getting that dirty water out there. It's getting them dirty thoughts that keep us from accepting the goodness of God. Of this thing of like, we're always, you know, Christians are always trying to do penance. Always trying to do penance. I messed up and I'll do all these good, I ask God to forgive me, but that ain't good enough. You know, I'm going to do all these things to show him how sincere I am. And I'm going to do all this stuff, you know. I'll pray harder. You know, I've heard people say, you need to pray harder. I said, how do you do that? You go, our Father, which is in heaven. The Bible tells us just do it by faith. Just believe what you're saying. So let's, you know, I do believe God wants us to enjoy our Christianity.
Amen.
He wants us to enjoy it and be able to face things in life without falling apart, trusting in grace, trusting in his wonderful grace to help us. Hallelujah. Jesus came to give you an abundant life. I'm going to tell you, I want you to enjoy that abundant life. No matter what you run into, God will give you the wisdom and understanding that you need. And the fact, like in Romans 10:12 says this, for there's no distinction between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. He's rich to everybody who calls on him. In other words, his richness of grace is the same to everyone. Doesn't matter. He said, like, here, we need to understand that their culture, the separation between a Jew and a Greek was huge culturally. And when he's making, there's no difference. In other words, the Jew who had all the years of the law, and we have the heritage of following God. Basically, what Paul wrote, the Jews, the Gentiles, just on good a ground as you are. Ha ha. So in this life, you know, we look at some people and we put them up here on a pedestal and that. And you can't put somebody up on a pedestal unless you put yourself down lower somewhere.
That's right.
The Lord helped me that in the areas of teaching. He talked to me one time about my gift. And he said this. He said, your gift is as good as anybody out there ministering today. He said, I gave it to you. And he says, it's good as anybody's. And so you need to get that within yourself, you know. You don't set yourself, you don't look in the natural of what other people are doing and identify. You just do the will of God in your life. Grace is there for you. I don't care how big of a ministry I have, there's not more grace toward them because they're in a big ministry or something. There's a lot of manipulators out there that don't have any anointing but have known how to play the psychological game, and Christians are the easiest people to play. They're the easiest. Most gullible. Psychology in the church. You could play people easily. Man, I was in a church for a while. And the pastor's wife, boy, she knew how to use psychology to. She was a manipulator from the day she learned how to do that. Well, no spirituality in it, but she knew how to manipulate. And she'd do that to people. She would just manipulate. But people fall for it. You don't get spiritual, you end up falling for it. You fall for it. Can't blame them. Don't fall for it. Get spiritual. Hallelujah. Walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. And you won't have to worry about them crazy things happening in the flesh. Ephesians in the first chapter has some wonderful sayings here. In Ephesians, the first chapter, I'm going to read starting at verse 5. These are looking at us for the position God's put us in Christ Jesus. In the fifth verse, it says, having predestined us to the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Do you realize it was God's good pleasure to save you? God was so glad to save you. Just say, God was so, it was his good pleasure to save you. See, most people look at, oh, I was a sinner and Jesus saved me. God's saying, it was my pleasure to save you. I'm so glad to do that. It's God's good pleasure. See, it wasn't his good pleasure to save you and now he's mad at you. The churches, when I was a kid, that was sort of the thing. You got saved. And then for then on, it was all about works. And if your works, God was just mad all the time. He was never happy. If God wasn't happy, I thought, man, he's like my dad. With kids, you know, dad, you know, just wanted to be in quiet, you know, he'd be in there snoring some Z's off or something and fall asleep on a chair. You don't make any noise, cause dad, get up. You know, and so what, to me, going to church was like going with dad. You know, dad's sawing off C's over on the chair. Don't get noisy or anything. God will be upset. You know? No telling what's going to happen. No, it was his good pleasure to save you. And it was what? To the praise and the glory of his grace. Because, see, he's gracious. That's why he did it. By which he has made us accepted in the beloved. See, he made you accepted. You couldn't make you accepted. He made you accepted in Jesus Christ. That's what he did. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. Why? According to the richness of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Now that word abound there, in the Greek, that word means to superabound, or it means to excel or supersede. In other words, it's not talking about, the use of the term abound here is not really good because it's far above just abound. It's way out over. It's something, an exceedingly great amount. Now, he says in what? Now, he says, he toward us, God abounded toward us in wisdom and in prudence. And this is important because in wisdom, you need wisdom. God is abounded. There is no reason that Christians don't have wisdom. Grace, he tells us here, was God's abounding toward us in wisdom. So the fact to get wisdom from God should be the easiest thing we get a hold of. It is so simple. God made sure that it worked so well. He put the Holy Spirit in you, which people don't listen to. He's the wisdom of God in you. Wisdom is in you all the time. That's why James said, if you ask wisdom, God gives it liberally. Holy Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit's going to give you wisdom. See, most time we're looking for wisdom on the outside. We ask for wisdom and we're trying to find it here, trying to go to get it there, get this person here, try to find this, try to find that, and the whole time it's right inside of us. It's right inside of us. Wisdom's in us. It's getting over and listen to the wisdom. Pay attention. On the inside, learn to live out of the inside. Now, he uses the word prudence. Prudence is really, if you look up in the Greek, it's talking about mental intellect. See, wisdom on you ain't no good if you can't get in your head. You got to renew your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of mind. See, this is one thing, as we see, it's like, one thing is the world figured out, the devil figured out, is the whole thing as leading people off. See, they used education. The devil worked over the years to take over the educational system. Why? To fill people's minds full of evil, wicked stuff. So when people would measure everything by that, by their thoughts and by their things. See, education, if you take in America, when America first... Penn State was the first college in America that wasn't established by the church. If you go to and look at all the Ivy League colleges, they all came, they were church. They were started by the church. But the devil's taken them all over today. But he took the church over first. See, people get mad at the education. Said, yeah, the education exists today because of the church. The church left. You know, people said, well, when they took prayer out of the school, prayer left the school because prayer left the home. Let's get down. See, the church loves to point the finger out. Boy, it's their fault. I'm having trouble in life. It was them. See, don't look at the Bible because it's the mirror that'll shine back on you. Believe me, I know. It's their fault. So I'm going to stay away from the Bible and not read because if I know it, I'm going to find out it's been mine. I just... Hallelujah. But we need to walk, and this, we're still talking about grace. It's hooking up with the grace of God. Things may look like a mess, but what changes everything is grace. See, it's what the church will hook up with the grace of God. That's what we have to do. We can't look, see, the Bible says where sin abounds, grace is much more abound. See, when we look at the today, most of the church world, if they want to follow God, they look at things are just too bad. See, grace ain't that big. See, we're so messed up, God can't fix this. Well, why? God sent Jesus when man was all messed up. And there wasn't even nobody walking with him. And he sent Jesus and grace saved man. And see, we got to change our whole attitude about things. I've had, you know, Christians, spirit-filled Christians tell me, well, nothing's going to, everything's just going to go down the tubes. And I said, we're into the end times, you know. And I think, man, I hope it ends early for you. Man, whew, we got to get you out of here quick. And, but we need to, you know, it's one of the things that we are dealing with today. And I'm just going to be perfectly honest with you. There's Christians that need to leave this earth because they're holding things back from God. There's leadership needs to go. There's always been like that. There's people in the forefront of every revival. It wasn't until they were removed that revival came. Because there's people who are hooked to men. They're hooked to man. They ain't hooked to God. They have guys that they're following a guy, man. They're at this guy, and I like this guy. They're the guy. They don't know nothing about the gift. The gift comes from God, don't come from the guy. Amen. And getting yourself over, we're following God. That's what we're following. God uses somebody. It's God using them. It's not them. As I learned a long time ago, you know, I didn't have this ability to teach before I got saved. So I didn't dream it up. I didn't get this. It wasn't me. I mean, I remember I first got saved, and to me, to think about teaching and preaching, to me, it was sort of a hard thing to put together. And in 1983, the Lord sent me out to Kenneth Hagin's meeting in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and they were having their camp meeting, and he said, I want you to go out there, you're going to get an anointing. And he didn't even say what it was. Oh, so, you know, see, God, you know, you understand that's how God operates. God will have a hard time operating through you if you want all the answers. You have to know everything ahead of time. He's going to have a hard time because he never operates that way. Why? Because he wants you to operate by faith on the information given. He told me to go, you're going to get anointing. That's all he told me. You're going to get anointing. You're going to go out there. So I went out to the meeting. We went through the whole week. Nothing happened. Saturday afternoon, we're sitting there at Kenneth Hagin's ministering to ministers up front. I mean, I'm a nobody sitting out in the audience. I'm a nobody sitting out there. Nobody knows me. Nobody knows who Ed Gibson is. They said, who's Ed Gibson? They had said, who cares? You know, nobody knew me. I'm sitting out there in the audience. And he's up there ministering to ministers. And I said, Lord, I obeyed you and I came out here. Now see, one thing is this. I knew God told me something. These nutty people say, well, God told me something we did and it didn't happen then and that stuff. That wasn't God. That was you. And I sat there and I said, God, I obeyed you. You told me to go. And I said, I'm sitting here in this place. And I said, you told me I was going to get anointing from Kenneth Hagin. And I said, if I don't get it, I said, I won't obey you again. I said, I'm staying at home. I said, you told me to do this, you're going to get it. I said, because that makes you a liar and I ain't following you. Well, I know sooner. See, I don't know how you guys talk to God, but to me it's like, I can understand why people get nowhere with God. They don't get direct. You know, God is not nervous. He is not nervous. We go to this, oh dear Father, please do this. I'll just light a candle. But I no sooner got that out of my mouth, sitting there, I remember sitting here just saying that to God. Kenneth Hagin started speaking in tongues, and what happened to him? He got over in tongues and he couldn't talk in English anymore. He just kept talking in tongues. And he'd start talking to the congregation in tongues and he wouldn't realize he's talking in tongues. And they can't understand it. He couldn't get out of it. So he's standing there talking in tongues. And Fred Price was at the meeting at that time. Fred Price stood up and said, Brother Hagin said, if you want this anointing that he's ministering, you just receive it right now. You can have it. And like that, that anointing fell on me. And I knew what it was when it came on me. It dropped on me. You know, often what would have happened if I wouldn't have pushed? See, this is what happened. People don't realize this. Well, it's God. You don't treat God. God wants you to be aggressive on things like He is. See, most people don't receive from God because they're not aggressive. See, I learned to be aggressive about healing. I am not passive at all. Don't tolerate. I don't tolerate. I just myself. I'm sorry. I don't tolerate. Because I found out, man, you can get far Now, you don't get no forgiveness. This is my, God ain't holding back, but I ain't letting things hold me back. I ain't no devils. I want the devil to know. You can't mess around with me about a fight. You gotta let him know. And so you have to get that aggression. It's just like with me. God said something. You must go after it. It's not gonna fall on you just cause he said it. When I was sitting there, you know, this was the last day of the services there. If this thing don't happen, I'm going home. And I'm going to tell you what, I wouldn't. If God would have told me to do something after that, I said, no way. Forget it. You know, that's the way I learned concerning about money, too. The Lord tell me to go somewhere. And the first time he told me to go on a mission trip when I was in Bible school. He said to go on a mission trip. He says, I want you to go down to Peru on a mission trip. Well, I said to him, I said, that's absolutely fine. But I said, I'll go anywhere you want me to go. But I said, I'm not taking the family's money to go down there. If you don't provide it, we don't go. See, now some people think, but this is what people do. People, first thing they get in mind, how am I going to get the money together? I learned this a long time ago. I've worked for numbers of different places in my lifetime, and never did I have to raise the money to do their job. And if God is that lousy of an employer... I want you to work for me and you have to figure it all out and do it for me. That's the church. That's the church. Like God's holding out. Well, Wanda and I found out over the years, God tells us to do something, the money will come in. The money will come in. We learned to go on vacations in that way. We didn't have money. We didn't have a nickel to our name. We'd plan a vacation, tell everybody we're going and where we're going and what we're going to do. We didn't have two nickels to rub together that vacation. But we said, we're going on that vacation. And I'll tell you, every time the money would come in, we'd have the money for the vacation and do exactly what we said. Why? Because Jesus said, you'll have what you say. I learned to set things in. You got to set things in motion. You know? Now, I'm going to tell you this. Your mind will sit there and say, you shouldn't have said that. What if it don't work? What are people going to say about you? See, if you're worried about you, stay out of the faith game. If you're worried about what people, I'm going to tell you what, more people will get mad at you because your faith worked than the ones that didn't. I learned that a long time ago. So, I want them to have something good to get mad about. I'm going to let the faith story tell the story. That's right. Give a good faith testimony. And if they're upset, I could care less. Don't matter to me. I don't care if nobody wants to listen to it. Don't matter to me. Don't listen. You know? Life turns out bad. You're going to meet Jesus one day and say, hey, no, God came and told you how to get out of that. You refused it. So, you know, I ain't Jesus. They don't want to tell me. They can just reject it and do whatever they want. So, we just live along in that line. You know, just remember in this fact concerning wisdom, we'll close with this is where James said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God who gives it to you liberally without reproach, and it'll be given to him. That word without reproach, if you look in the Greek of actual meaning of that word, is the idea that if you did something wrong or something's messed up, he said without reproach. In other words, God's not going to hold it against you. Maybe you used your wisdom and messed up, and now you stopped and said, oh, hold it, God. I want your wisdom. So he said, one thing we find, he said, if you go on to read the whole thing, about asking in faith. And he said, you know, if a person don't ask in faith, don't think they're going to get anything. And this is believing you receive it, and you'll have it. You know, I've learned over the years to operate in this area, especially, you know, like a lot of people are just asking when they ask things, well, you know, you shouldn't ask God for things that are just, you know, about around, you know, in your life, you know, simple things and that stuff. I ask God all kinds of simple things. But see, it's what may be simple to you may not be simple to the next guy, you know. But there's one thing is I realize about this in life. Everyone lacks wisdom. There's not somebody that knows everything. The guys who know it all probably know the least. They're the biggest problem. It's one thing is understanding, but with God will give you wisdom. It's like, you know, just today, just a simple thing. God's interested in everything. I've learned this all over my time in life. I learned to really practice this area when I worked at H.B. Reese Candy Company. In management, we would have a, you know, running equipment breakdowns and stuff. Sometimes it takes a long time till they find out what's going on, what's happening, repairing things. but you want to keep things running because it's money, man. It's a lot of money. The more time you're down, I mean, we're talking $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 a minute being down. You know, it's a lot of money you're losing when that thing, when the lines aren't running. And, I just learned over time we did breakdowns and I would just say to God, God, what's going on? If they couldn't fight something, what's going on? What's the matter? So many times I just all of a sudden knew what was wrong. I knew. And I'd go to the mechanics, electricians, go check such and such. And many times they would say to me, oh, that can't be it. I'd say, just humor me. Go look. And then they'd say, man, how did you come up with that? And then you startle and say, God told me that. And then it was like, oh, yeah, him. Yeah, that's Gibson. He's out there. He's out there. But it works. It works. You know, just like say, tomorrow I'm going to work on a thing on my car, an actuator door lock on a sliding door. And I don't know if anybody knows anything about those on vans and stuff today, the electronics. They're a misery. I said to God, I said, you know, I'm going to take a shot at doing this thing because I said, if I take it in the garage, you know, there's some things I don't mind spending money for, but just in a garage, they go in and mess around, do something and, the bills they want to give you and people don't want to charge, do things right, but some people don't. And so I said, I'm just going to take a shot fixing this thing. I'm going to do it. And, I just said, Lord, I'm definitely going to need wisdom about this thing and dealing with it. But just one thing, I began to look to see, well, what can you find? I went on YouTube and I started watching and they would show different things and I found out what people were doing wrong and what they, you know, people were doing right. But I noticed one thing that they were doing. They never showed putting the things back inside the door. And I knew that had to be the hardest thing because they never deal with that. So I thought, just got to be something with this thing. And so this morning I was out, early this morning I get up and go out for a walk and I was out walking and I just said to the Lord, Lord, I need wisdom. I said, I need wisdom of what to do. I said, I don't know anybody that has it specifically, but I said, but I sure need to know somebody that does. And I said, but you're going to give me wisdom. I don't want to thank you. I said, I'm going to find out how to complete that thing and what to do. So I just said, I want to thank you for doing that. And so when I got back home, I had this sense inside of me. And I had been on YouTube and looking at some things and I just couldn't find answers before about, you know, things I was looking for. But I got this sense, go on YouTube and look on this back there again. So I thought, you know, I don't want to waste my time, you know, I was on YouTube, you know, but I just had this sense inside, you know. See, we ask for wisdom, gotta pay attention to the inner man. See, my mind's telling me, you were there before. Oh, yeah, you were there before. Yeah, you know everything. And I went over there looking around. Here I found this thing. And it was one of the, it's a video that probably most people would never even look at about the subject of doing that because all of them got to be long of all the stuff they have to tell and show you. This guy has a video that's a minute, 24 seconds and shows the most important thing you need to do with that. And the guy says is, there's not one video on YouTube that shows this. And he said, it'll add to you 5 or more hours of working on this without knowing what I'm showing you. Hidden behind a piece of trim on the car, something that makes it a whole lot easier. And when I saw it, I thought, that's exactly what I need to do. But God just kept putting it inside of me to do it. And I went over there, I thought, I don't want to look through these long videos again. I don't want to go out and look at these long things all over. And I just checking around, found that one, got the answer I needed and what to do. I said, praise God. So you ask wisdom, He gives it liberally. Listen on the inside. Why? Because the know-it-all lives in you. Amen. It ain't you. It's the know-it-all that lives in you. He's not a hitchhiker. He lives in there for a purpose. And he's full of wisdom. Ask him. And then believe you receive it. See, I just asked you for wisdom. I just knew he'd give it. I just kept saying, I'm going to have wisdom on what to do with this thing. Taking this thing apart and putting it back in. I'm going to have wisdom on this thing. Hallelujah. And you know what? I still don't know everything, but I know tomorrow. God will give me wisdom on what to do, and I'll be able to do it. Hallelujah. So, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Why? That's all grace. That's what comes with grace. It's an abundant life. He'll even give you a good mind. See, we don't do that today. Well, you know, you get older, your mind starts to... Everybody believes. You know why that stuff happens? You know, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me years ago about Alzheimer's. You know, Alzheimer's didn't exist. It was brought into existence. I got researching on Alzheimer's and found out that Alzheimer's wasn't even around years ago. No such thing as a disease. And the Lord spoke to me and He said, people kept talking and they talk and they talk. As you get older, your mind goes. He said, people keep talking till they develop things. People won't keep their blab mouth shut till they have it. We have created a lot of things in America from our mouth. We don't understand. We get this eye thing that things just happen. They don't just happen. There's much man has created, has come into this earth through man's believing and speech that is evil. And that even the church believes it and speaks it. I listen to Christians that are older say, ha ha, I'm having a senior moment. And ain't nothing cute or funny about that. Saying those kind of things or doing it is nothing funny to lose your mind. I don't have senior moments. You go start being around people, your mind goes on them. Ain't nothing funny about none of it. And there's loads of Christians are set up and doomed. I'm going to tell you, some of them will never be able to turn around. They have said it so much, they'll never stop it. You can run your mouth so long, you can't turn it around. You be careful and guard yourself. Jesus said, I could have what I said. He didn't say you're going to have what you believe. You can believe the right thing, but just keep talking foolish. After a while, you and foolish are going to run into each other. So learn to do that. Guard your mouth, guard your life. I'm serious. Guard your life. Protect your life. Protect your health. The Lord told me, He said, number one thing He wants of His people is to be healed. Number one thing He said He wants His people to be well. He must. Look at His ministry. Was healing on the back burner someplace? Or? Jesus said, I don't do anything the Father don't do, and I don't say anything the Father don't say. He's running around healing like crazy. In the church today, healing's definitely way down on the back burner someplace. And they talk about, you know, we want to be like Jesus. You know, running a soup kitchen. It's like, good God. Giving money to people who don't work. I'll tell you, we're just insanity. Hallelujah. Let's follow God. The word is great. Father, we just want to thank You tonight because Your greatness toward us. Father, You have nothing good but good plan for Your people. You've said it in Your word. Your desire. What You want to do. Hallelujah. Father, I just want to thank You for awakening. And I pray for an awakening in the church. I pray for eyes with understanding to comprehend and understand the Word of God. Father God, do we stand against these religious spirits that operate? We stand against You, Satan, in the name of Jesus for Your lies that get preached, Your lies that get said. We bind You in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we call and speak life, that words of life would be spoken over people in the name of Jesus. Lord God, that people would see Your goodness, Your kindness, Your mercy, Lord God, Your grace in abundance poured out, hallelujah. All that You have planned, hallelujah, for man in this life. And Father, I want to thank You, Father. Father, we just don't want to hoard it to ourselves. Lord God, we want to spread it out to others, hallelujah. For others to be able to enjoy this goodness and kindness and mercy that You have, that You revealed in grace in Christ Jesus. Jesus, it's wonderful to have You as a Lord. We're so glad that You're in charge and we're not. Hallelujah. We're so glad, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. There's nothing more wonderful that we can call You Lord. Hallelujah. That we can call You our Savior. Hallelujah. You're the one that redeemed us and You love us. And in all Your kindness and mercy, all that You did, You were willing that through inheritance, we got your same inheritance that you got. We got seated in heavenly places just where you sit. Hallelujah. Jesus, you're an absolutely wonderful Savior. And we thank you, Father God, that we're going to walk in the light as He's in the light. We're going to have fellowship with one another. Father God, we thank you for all that we're going to be able to accomplish and do to carry the kingdom forward. In Jesus' name, amen.